So there's a global pandemic. A virus is sweeping across our world, and society has changed. Why is all this happening? Are anal swabs more accurate a test than nasal? Should the United Kingdom let the EU have vaccine doses even after Brexit? Do I need to charter a plane, a private plane, to a remote part of Canada and pose as an Indigenous tribesman to get a vaccine? If you haven't considered these questions yet, you will soon. And we'll be here with you, your personal guides on this journey, this descent into chaos. Thank you for joining us on Staring at Goats.
That is right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, 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 one and all you people who just can't wait to discuss more COVID-19. We are here, your hosts, Stephen, Jacob, Travis, all of us, all of us, all three, the three musketeers of the apocalypse. Here to bring about some news to your ears, to share some COVID-19 stuff, maybe laugh a little, maybe cry a little, maybe get disgusted on screen. Maybe Jacob will give us some good stock tips on this week of pure insanity that makes Bitcoin look like a decent purchase. It's been a rough, weird week between like new administrations, stock market shenanigans, COVID vaccine shortages and relocations of vaccines, and then like massive promises to have 150 million doses by summer. It's crazy town. It seems like we're over-promising left and right. We're giving money away left and right. Not that I don't think people need it. Let me not get into that. I think people need money, but I'm like, the stock market bit is just all insane. Like, it's a wild world we're in.
Well, I mean, 150 million vaccines isn't really that far-fetched. I mean, we're vaccinating about, what, a million people a week, roughly? Is that where we're at?
I think we were at a million. He wants a million people, a million a day.
No. I think it was a million a day. I'm sorry, because it was 900 and some thousand whenever the Trump administration had it. Because I think it was like 919 or 920, and he wanted to bump it up to a little over a million. Yeah. Which 150 days from now, you're talking about midsummer, right?
So
I don't think that's too far fetched, just based on the progress that we had made under the last administration. We weren't that far off 1 million a day.
No, you're right. And in what I read today, there's a 3-day, they're trying to retain a 3-day rotation. So like you get stock, you got 3 days left stock of stock, and then you're just rotating out of that stock as you go, which I think is a good move, because if you end up with a day long line is down, no vaccines getting made, you need to have that cushion in place. So I mean, that's good. And we were already headed that direction. So, you know, we'll see what happens, but it seems like actually getting those into people's arms is the bigger task than actually producing them. I can make stuff, but I can't make other people buy it from me. And that's kind of, I think, where we're going to be. Is my dad's theory that people won't take it who have perfect reasons to be in line to get it. And then because they won't take it, we're still holding out for them, and then other people can't get it, you know, those kinds of things. But yet I still remain hopeful. Man, we dove into that real quick. I didn't mean to do that.
We kind of did. Yeah. I mean, I was gonna give you guys stock tips, but wants stock tips, then I'll walk away from it.
This is a show about COVID-19, but I think this is also a show that's paired with the apocalypse. Mm-hmm. And Jacob, what on earth did you do? What did you do?
I got pissed off this morning. I decided I'm on the wrong side of the bed. I shouldn't be on this side of the bed. I'm going to flip the stock market switch. I'm done with you people. And I did it.
You did it.
You did. Sorry, guys. By the way, everybody needs to go into chat or go into Discord and give Oddly some rep, because that was just an absolute perfect drawing. And I may have some other drawings in my back pocket waiting in the wigs. We've had this in the works for weeks.
Oh, nice.
weeks, and I was just waiting for the day that the stock market took an absolute shit to drop that picture. It did today, so I was able to enjoy that with Oddly today.
Well, it was
great.
The Dow dropped 600 points or something, which is a drop. But then you've got the GameStop, AMC, Bed Bath & Beyond shenanigans that makes me wish, like, where was I back in February when it was $2? And I was like, why are what did GameStop go away? And then,
Steven, where were you last week?
Sure,
when it was $10.
Like $10. Yeah, what difference? Like, and I don't know what to do about it. And it's perfectly legit. I mean, you just have a mass of people trying to screw the short game.
Well, so I don't know if everybody's true 100% familiar with the short game, but the short game is
no, no one is familiar with the short game. Tom Merritt tried to explain it this morning, and I finally figured he finally got to a point where he explained it in a way that didn't make me go cross-eyed, which was good. Because when it started, I was like, okay, I have no idea what you're talking about. And he kept circling around, finally got to it. So, but go ahead and explain it again for everybody that may not know, because
I could try my best. So you got some people that own a stock, right? And you've got some other people that go, I'm going to borrow that stock for a little while, and I'll pay you Tuesday for your hamburger today. And they write a contract between the two of them that says, I'm going to borrow this amount of stock, and I'll pay you the price that it's at on Tuesday. And so for the next however many days that is, then I get to borrow that stock and do whatever I want to with it. Well, then they go and sell it. And the idea here is that they'll sell your 10 shares for $10 a piece for a GameStop, and they'll get $100. And they'll be like, oh, I made $100. And what they're banking on is that GameStop will actually go down, because right now, I mean, let's face it, GameStop is a pretty shit company, and they probably have prospects that look like shit. So they're going, okay, GameStop's probably going to go down. So on Tuesday, when I owe the guy who actually owns whenever I owe him, The GameStop stock is at $5, so all I owe him is $50 for the stock. And so rather than give him the $100 that I made off the sale of the stock, I only give him $50, and then I pocket the remaining $50. So I made a short sale on it, right? So it only really works for the middleman if the stock truly does go down. So things like AMC and things like GameStop, they're shorted frequently because, I mean, let's face it, they don't have very good prospects right now. You don't go out and short sell an Apple stock unless you're doing something reversed where you're trying to hold it for a period of time and then sell it. But that's completely different. Anyway. So all these speculators essentially just borrowed huge sums of GameStop shares and was like, oh, yeah, we're going to sell them for $10. And next week they'll be down back to $2 and we'll make just an absolute freaking boatload of money. Well, the internet had different plans. The internet said, whoa, 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 we're done with this. So the internet started buying and holding. The key there is buying and holding shares. So they kept buying and holding shares, so it creeped the price up. And then all of a sudden, people got wind of it and then bought a boatload of shares and held them. And the stock price went up to, what was it, 300-some percent in the last 2 days.
Closed at 350 or something today.
Yeah, closed at 350. And so now all of these speculators who bought at $10, who borrowed shares at $10 a share, who now is stuck because they have to go back and pay them for $350. They're like, oh yeah, I borrowed 10 shares for $10 and now I owe $350 per share rather than $10 per share. Shit.
Yeah.
So the losses are astronomical. The losses are, you're talking about billions of dollars in losses at this moment. It's just absolutely glorious. So AMC is going through the same thing. They're talking about Dillard's being the next one. Yeah. There's a ton of them. Good. Yes, Dillard's.
Good, yeah, that place is still around.
There's still a Dillard's. This is insane.
But yeah,
I thought Dillard's only existed in malls that were empty.
Yeah, I mean,
pretty much.
That's the only place I've ever seen them is like there's nothing there, and I just see a Dillard's sign. That's it.
To be fair, Dillard's does have one of the best men's sections of any department store, and even just department store
Macy's
I've been
did.
In. Okay, so Macy's has the best of everything department store. But Dillard's, if you don't have a Macy's because you live in up the butt nowhere, Dillard's probably is there, and Dillard's next has best thing. The best men's section. Not that I shop at malls ever anymore. Basically just wander in Old Navy, grab some plaid shirts, and go home. Let me see. This shirt, I like it. It has seven colors. I'll buy all seven of those colors. Thank you. And I'll go home, and it's the same shirt in seven colors.
Yeah. It works. It's a look.
Yeah. See, C-Mitch asked most of, about part, I'm sorry. C-Mitch was asking about, does the GameStop fiasco run afoul of market manipulation laws? Where the regulator's at?
It does not. And the reason why is because we're talking about just citizens running up the shares, buying and holding. This is not necessarily an SEC violation. It's not a company. If you want to know what I think runs afoul, it's actually the speculators who are short selling these stocks. I mean, that's the true problem. And of course, the short sellers are like, oh, these assholes, it's all speculation. And I'm like, that's exactly what you're doing, you asshole. So stop it. So they're all pissed off with the internet because the internet one-upped them, and they're like, oh, this isn't a true valuation of the company. And I mean, let's argue that Apple's not a true valuation at this moment. And there's a lot of companies out there that probably aren't at their true valuation based on true economic principles. They're probably overinflated or underinflated.
Well, and so, it also really puts into perspective that the stock market is not indicative of what the economy is doing.
Yeah. Cue Audie's picture of Molly Wood and that crew. I can't remember who else is in that picture yelling, the stock market is not a barometer for society.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah. And you're right. I mentioned that this morning with some guys. I'm like, it's not a good indicator of full economic health.
Well, and the Republicans are going to say, oh, see what happens whenever a Democratic administration comes in? Stock market starts to tank. And I mean, let's face it, Main Street is not doing well. It hasn't been doing well. This year has sucked for Main Street. Yes, Wall Street made a shit ton of money, and the billionaires became more billionaires, and they made a whole lot more money. But if you look at you and I and the rest of the folks down here on Main Street, we're still in the same boat. We're scraping by. Mm-hmm. And if you think that the economy is good, I challenge you to reevaluate, because I'm not sure that I necessarily have that same opinion.
It wasn't good. It's not good. It's not getting better. People are still out of work. And you can blame whoever you want for it. It had its fair share of up and downs in a Republican administration as well. It's fun. It's fun to watch the blame game get thrown around like crazy, depending on who's in the White House. It's like, this person's in there and it's down. That's what happens. And then it goes up and everyone's real quiet on the other side. They're like, don't say anything. And this goes for both sides of the debate.
That's a nonpartisan.
If it's going up, don't give them credit. If it's going down, eat them alive. That's the ticket.
And if that's the message that I portrayed, that's not what I believe. I don't think that either administration, I don't think it's a fault or a characteristic of either administration. I just think that's the barometer right now that we put on administrations, and it shouldn't be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think you're right. I think we've learned there's more important things than just whether the stock is going up and to the right. Not to get into that, let's drag this thing back out of this deep dark hole and into a different deep dark hole. Just the dying corpse of this show. We're gonna pull it out. We're gonna drag it across the ground, and we're gonna chuck it into this other place. But
you brought up GameStop.
I did. Well, it's because the world is upside down, and it felt like something that was tangentially related.
I'll say about GameStop is just funny, because this is all happening, and literally we had two in my town and one just closed.
I don't want to go further into it, but I will say this. They shouldn't have opened GameStops like Starbucks's and put them on every street corner and in a mall on a strip mall. And it's like, no one wants the GameStop next to Walmart when they both have the same games. That's a bad strategy. Like, I'm going to go into Walmart, I'm going to buy my chicken tenders, and then I'm going to go buy my game, I'm going to go home. I'm not going to go buy chicken tenders, walk down the street in the strip mall to get the game at GameStop, and then go home. That's stupid. That's a lot of steps. I don't need to do that. I'm a gamer. I just want to go home and sit on the couch. But anyway, anyway. So,
COVID. And your new PlayStation 5 playing your Miles Morales.
Playing the only game that's out for it right now, Miles Morales. The only game I care about that's out right now. A giant box I don't really do anything with because I beat Miles Morales. But moving right along, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, you guys. As far as my round table, my in-laws got vaccinated this last week on Monday. And conversations have begun about when and how to meet people that were otherwise we were unable to meet. Because vaccines weren't in place, people weren't around, there was more nervous conditions about, well, can we have those people here? We don't know what they're doing. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, my mom's been vaccinated, my dad's on the hunt, my dad's sweet talking his pharmacist to try and see if he can jump in there.
Tim, you are the best, sir. I hope you're listening to this, because if you are, you are the best, sir. Sweet talk that lady all you can.
He's got that charisma. Look, he's a smoker, and they know how to talk to people because they wander around into smoking sections and just strike up conversation. We're at Universal Studios. Quick aside, and we lose him for like 10 minutes just standing around waiting for something, and he comes back and he's like, I went over behind that gate over there and I was talking to a bunch of the crew members and they were telling me all kinds of stuff about this park and where to go and when, and I'm like, what, how would you? It says employees only. He had just wandered back there to smoke and just started talking to people. Like, this is why you get where you are.
Is this here the smoking section? No, this is the employees only section. Well, do you mind if I stay here and smoke? I mean, yeah, I just
standing there smoke, chatting them up about how many people were in the park and when to come back and all this stuff. Just smart.
That tracks.
Yeah, it's just how it rolls. But anyway, they're getting there. We're looking at like when visits can happen, when people are getting vaccinated. And to me, that was a good indicator that maybe the pandemic's not over. There's still going to be things we have to deal with. We're still going to wear masks, those kinds of things. Social distancing is still a thing. But the removal of that weight of, if I walk out my door, I need to fear for the lives of myself and everyone around me. I'm feeling like that's going to come to a close for our pod personally. Once we get the majority of the people we worry about vaccinated, feels like that's gonna help tamp down some of that intense repression we've been doing since March. And not to say you start acting nutty or anything. But like some of those little things, you can be like, okay, well, I did go into the grocery store. I did have a mask on. It was social distance. That's still a vector that I need to know, let everybody know about, and still something you would let everybody know about. But at least there's coverage, and I think that feels good to me. Yeah, that's all I have for my where I'm at right now.
And I could probably bridge right from that, because I actually have an appointment next week for my vaccination. And I got a phone call and an email basically saying, sorry, but we're canceling your appointment for you. And I'm like, oh, why? And they're like, well, we're trying to do these mass vaccination sites in Charlotte and Durham and New Brunswick County. And because of that, all of our doses are going to those next week instead of here at the clinic. So we have to cancel all our appointments next week at the clinic. And I'm like, oh, so you're going to have no doses next week. And they said, yep. But so it raises a question. Is that the right strategy? Because essentially what's happening in Charlotte is Charlotte's a mess right now. I mean, there's a ton of new cases. There's a lot of folks dying there. There's a lot of hospitalizations there. It's a mess. And so what the team in North Carolina is trying to do is say, okay, let's use the Panthers stadium, the NFL stadium over there, and set up a vaccination site in the stadium and have everybody that's 65 and over just come straight to that stadium and get vaccinated in one weekend. So Friday through Sunday, we're hoping to jab 20,000 people. Let's do this thing. Let's rock and roll. But the problem with that is that to get 20,000 vaccines, they got to beg, borrow, and steal from all the other counties to try to make that happen. Well, I was a casualty of that. So I will not be getting my vaccine next week. And I said, okay, well, can I reschedule my appointment? They're like, you've got to do that on the internet. And of course, the internet is a first come, first serve. If you could find an appointment, good. If you can't, camp the site and keep hitting refresh until you can find one that pops open. So The next 2 days have been spent camping the site, and I still don't have a vaccine appointment.
Yeah, it's going to be rough, I think. And I'm looking at the map right now, the trends in North Carolina, and Charlotte's bad, but there are a lot of bad counties. You know, Charlotte's 725 cases a day. Wake County's 598 cases a day. I mean, we're not that far behind.
Yeah, and they've got one here in, well, not in Wake County, but in Durham County. I think there's one in Durham this weekend, and I think the other one's out in New Bern, if I'm not wrong, but there are three. And they're hoping to stick a whole bunch of people. But, I mean, look, they're trying to get it out there to the right people. And I know that last week we talked about, well, what should we be doing? Should we be trying to get the 65 and 75-year-old crowd out of the way? Or should we be doing this kind of in a bulk fashion? Or should we be doing this through the health department or through the universities? Or how should we be doing this? And I think they're trying to mix it up and just try any way possible to get as many people cleared out of the queue as they can right now.
Yeah. Do you think that the population that they're after with these jab your arm fests is the right population? It's still for older generations, right? People that are 65 and older. So, like, I get that they're doing this, but what about the 65 and olders that can't get to a stadium and get stuck? Like, how is it an appropriate strategy, or would it be better to, if you're going to do a big vaccine push like that, to open it up a little wider?
Well, so I actually think this is probably the most appropriate way to do it, because what essentially right now what you have to do is go to a website. So you have to have access to the internet, and you have to have access to whatever site, the information to get to the site. Then you have to make sure you're there at the exact right time at the moment that appointments pop open. And then once you're there, you have to make sure you enter in fast and furiously all the information really, really quickly, because vaccine appointments aren't held until the minute you actually get the all your information put in there. And so there's a whole lot of things that have to line up, and I'm not sure that a 70-year-old person would necessarily be technologically savvy enough to be able to make sure all of those things are met, right? So what they've essentially done is said, if you're 65 and older, come down to the stadium and get vaccinated. You don't have to go make an appointment. You don't have to call ahead. You don't have to go on the internet. You don't have to do anything. Just show up, get vaccinated. And I feel like that's trying to remove as many barriers as humanly possible. Now, I think the question you're asking is, okay, there might be another barrier, which is being able to drive and make it out there. How do we remove that barrier? And that's a more tricky barrier, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's short of sending nurses to these elderly people's homes, and we act like 65 is elderly. 65 is not exactly elderly in this day, and people are younger at 65 than they've probably ever been. But once you start hit 65, you know, I once heard it said that life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes. That's kind of how it is. Once you hit 65, you get closer to 70, you hit 70, and then it's just all downhill from there. You realize in 5 years, you're real old, where you weren't 5 years ago. And then all of a sudden, boom, I'm an old person.
I'm not looking forward to that.
No, neither am I.
I'm already halfway there, and it's bad.
Let's just drive off the cliff like Thelma and Louise.
Dwayne, I got a rocking chair over there with your name on it. I'm not going to miss that opportunity right there. Forget
I'll
that.
Get old enough to sip. I get old enough to sip. No one looks forward to
it. Right, because the other side of it is you're Betty White, and you never, you just.
Her life sucks too.
Like a fine wine.
She's old. She has joint pain. She's old. Yeah. She's worse off than she looks too. Old people are just old, and it sucks. Even the ones that can smile on camera. Being old is butts. Just is.
That's true.
Says the crotchety old 35-year-old with an old soul.
I mean, you're like a 70-year-old soul, though, Steven. I mean, come on.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I am an old, crusty man at a very young age. Jacob, is that what you got? That it?
That's all I got.
Travis, how you doing?
I'm still here. it's been a week, not really good or bad, just sort of here. They are opening restaurants in Michigan again, starting February 1st for indoor dining at 25% capacity, and they have to close by 10 p.m., so nobody's happy. but you know, that's something. The only other major thing that's happened in the last week is one of our county commissioners deciding to brandish a gun during during a commission meeting, because you know that seemed like a good idea at the time.
Travis, hold on. I got to tell you, I was tempted. I was that close to putting it in there as the last story, just so that you would have to read for the eighth week in a row. Michigan, man. But I took it out at the last second.
That whole situation is just a shit show. It's just dumb. Somebody called in complaining about kind of gun culture, and so this guy decided it would be a good idea as a sitting county commissioner to walk off camera and come back with a rifle in his hand. What did he think that was going to look like? So yeah, there's of course been calls for him to resign, and that's not happening now. I don't know what's going on. It's
no, I mean, well,
my county, least... everybody.
That's Travis, everybody. He's responsible.
He's got our Michigan correspondent right there, baby. Mm-hmm.
It's funny that we did end up, you came on the show full time, and Michigan is where a lot of the biggest shenanigans have happened.
Yeah, yeah, that wasn't planned.
No, that wasn't. I promise. It's pretty, Travis has been he's been generating news for us on purpose. It's amazing.
But, I mean, outside of those shenanigans, it hasn't been that bad.
Yeah.
So, you know, just another week, just making it through, trying to survive until, you know, I can see other humans again in person and actually do things. Yeah, it is what it is.
Well, I'll tell you this. It seems like if they're reopening restaurants, that all that standing in the Capitol with guns really is what did it. I think that's what really pushed the governor to go ahead and open threats of kidnapping. And so whatever you guys are doing to make sure that those moves are made, keep it up. Keep wandering up to the Capitol with guns anytime you want something. And it seems to be productive. It seems to be
Wait. Just make sure that you do it 8 months before when you want it.
Right.
Right.
The real
it's an
push.
8 month kind of gestation period.
Yeah.
Now, you guys were up there. I say you guys, Michigan people who don't deserve to be Michigan people were up there like, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago stomping around? Weren't
they?
Yeah,
it's few weeks.
Yeah. They go up there and fuss and wave the flag and stuff.
Yep.
And don't realize the irony of their Democratic government that they're asking for is exact, or that they're not. It's hard to say this without making it seem jumbled. They're asking for a democratic government by asking for the government to ignore the democratic government. Well, wow. Sorry, yeah. I short-circuited my brain there. That was really difficult to say out loud.
Yeah. No, at times when I try to figure out the logic behind what they're doing, I realize two things. Number one, I can smell toast. And number two, there is no logic there.
I mean, there's got to be some logic. It just might not be. It may be lost on you, Travis. I mean, it's
that's got to be what it is.
You're not high-minded enough.
I will say that the number of times this the last few weeks, I've texted a friend of mine with the "Hey, what's that thing we're supposed to be able to smell from a mile away?" That's blood, Jerry. Oh, it's not toast. I think I'm having a stroke.
That's the sharks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the sharks. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
It's just no. I can't. I can't go into it anymore. it hurts. But I just don't. I can't figure out what the reasoning behind some of that is. Like, it just boggles the mind.
Yeah.
Do you think some of it's that people are getting? I'm not going to say stir crazy. But when you're trapped in an environment and the only people that you talk to are the people in your immediate circle, not even in your extended circle, but your immediate circle. And so if you're inundated with the same kind of conversations day in, day out, with the same kind of thinking, with the same kind of perspectives day in, day out, you start changing your perspective in a way that you might not have foreseen. And do you think some of this is just a product of the lack of being able to see people and interact?
I think that a lot of this is a product not of the lack of being able to see people and interact, but consciously creating situations where you only see the people that you want to. because this isn't new. It's just been building and building and building for the last 10 years because so many people create these echo chambers and insulate themselves and get the like-minded stuff. And then that's all they hear. They know, and they refuse to hear a different side to any argument.
Yeah.
And I see that on both sides of the political.
Sure. I was not saying it's a left or right thing.
No, I know, but I want to make that point known that I don't think it's a right wing thing at all. I had to finally just do a wall of text on a Facebook post. I went to Little Steven on Facebook, and somebody that I know had posted something. I won't say who it was, but it was about, I had been up for too long, and it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and it just flipped something in my brain, and then I started typing, and next thing I knew, I had several paragraphs, and I hit send and went to bed.
Oh no, that's just how you do it. Roll the grenade in there.
Yep, I rolled the grenade in and walked away because I couldn't take it anymore. It was just too much of the same crap over and over, and I'm like, look, this isn't productive, it's not helpful, and it needs to stop, and I'm not going to be part of it anymore, and I'm going to let you know that's how I feel. And
you know,
I'm waiting for the fallout of that still.
if it really hits home, they won't respond. They'll just ignore you. And when you touch the actual nerve and they're like, I have no real rebuttal other than, well, that's not what I think. And then they move on. And you could get that. I will say I have a small number of people I've run across on Facebook that don't agree with me on a lot of issues. Like we clearly have differences. They're clearly very, very much right side of the aisle. I'm very much little left to center. And there's like, it's refreshing when you see that and you hear, they're like, yeah, everything is going on is nuts. It kind of reaffirms that like that not everyone on either side is crazy. There are people that have been there their whole life on one side of the argument, but they're still like, yeah, I'm going to go back this way. I'm not gonna dance over here. I'm gonna come out and be like, yeah, y'all, this is wrong, and then hit enter, and then you're like, oh, that guy, he gets it.
The other one that I say either to myself or out loud way more often than I ever thought I would is, a person is smart. People are dumb, panicky animals, and you know it.
Yep. That's
a good point.
That is absolutely true. Echo chambers are dangerous. We've become a tribal society but the tribes talk to each other a lot. which used to, you could be off in your tribe and you'd like agreed to have a war and then you would have one. We're just like in a constant state of war in our tribe all the time because of Twitter and social media and media coverage.
Yeah. Ashley actually brought up a really good, Ashley and I talk about this quite frequently, but she brought up a point, which was COVID really exaggerated some of the problems because we are already headed down some of these paths.
Mm-hmm.
But COVID, I think, accelerated and exaggerated the problems. And, you know, this kind of situation, this kind of pandemic feeds into this kind of 24-hour news cycle. And it causes almost paralysis within the population because you're just waiting for the next piece of news in this just constantly devolving news cycle. And Ashley was just like, look, it's, I think it's been there for a long time. We just haven't necessarily recognized it. The pandemic has really kind of highlighted some of the major issues we have with our population. And she went on to make quite a few other really salient points, but that was one that really strikes in with respect to this conversation.
She's full of good points, that Ashley. She should do a podcast.
She should.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Thursday nights, 8:30 p.m. Tune in.
H&H.
TwoDorks.tv. Yeah. Let's do the isolation report.
Twitch TV.
Twitch.2Dork.TV.TV.
I thought it was TwoDorks.live.
Stop it. You're going to confuse everybody. TwoDorks.TV. Get over there. Damn. Click that button. Well, I don't know what button to click. The sub button. Give me $5. We work hard for you. Hey, man, Merck, y'all remember Merck. They were a drug company. They are a drug company. Merck drops two potential COVID-19 vaccines after poor results in early testing. Merck is bowing out of the vaccine game, but to be fair, it was kind of crowded anyway. But there's no room for underperformers. But that doesn't mean they quit. They're just going to focus on other medications that will help fight against symptoms and long-term health issues. They're not out fully. They're just like, we're going to do the thing we know how to do, which is oral meds and other meds that do things. One treatment they've got, known as MK7110, which is also a murderous Star Wars robot. It's not. That's HK-47. But if it was, if it was, Murderkill 7110. Don't remember that. Has the potential to minimize the damaging effects of an overactive immune response to COVID-19, which can complicate the life-saving efforts of doctors and nurses. Phase 3 study data, according to the company press release, showed the risk of death or respiratory failure in hospitalized COVID-19 patients treated with a single dose of MK7110 was reduced by more than 50%. Meanwhile, molnupiravir, the company's other treatment, which is still in clinical trials, is an oral drug that has the potential to stop community spread of the virus by suppressing the virus in the carrier. Both of these pretty good deals, one protecting other people, the other one, if you get in the hospital, you take your, what was it, a 50% chance you don't make it anyway, to a 25% chance that you don't make it, mm-hmm. if you really kind of throw it together. Like, I don't know if that data holds. That was months ago when we had that figure.
I mean, 50% is not terrible. I mean, I how about this? I think I've seen worse.
Sure.
And I mean, I've seen worse than the flu vaccine, right? So
yeah,
it's what I was expecting all of these to be at. I was expecting all of these in the first pass to be at 50, 60%. I was not expecting anything at the 90s and 95%. But, you know, that's
good.
That's the reason yeah. why you actually do the studies.
Yeah.
Well, it's to prove you're right or wrong.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a good move. And I mean, honestly, having any more medications on the market that can help keep people alive, keep the symptoms down, keep the spread, that molnupiravir yeah. that they're working on, that disease, that medicine right there, if it helps suppress community spread, that can make a huge difference for people that mm-hmm. either don't get vaccinated or get it regardless, you know, get COVID early before they get a chance to get vaccinated. I don't know when it's going to hit. Don't have any of those details, but should it get approved, you know, maybe we get a handle on this thing. Maybe the long-term effects of it, if it doesn't go away, are reduced. And that's good news.
Well, look at the AstraZeneca vaccine, right? It the first pass only behaved at around 60%, and everyone's yeah. like, oh. But, I mean, it's not that far off from what this drug was doing, right? So
yeah.
They tweaked the doses and modified the way they were giving it and the frequency and how much, when, and et cetera, and all of a sudden got up to 90%. So, yeah.
Yeah. And we're talking about
global pandemic. It wasn't bad. It was just not Moderna or Pfizer at 95%.
Right. Yeah. And this thing could help in places that can't afford or can't manage Bingo. The vaccine. Yep. You know, like you go to a country that doesn't have the infrastructure to either deliver it, contain it, do anything with it. This kind of sure. stuff is the silver bullet for them. You know, yep. Well, if we can suppress community spread, let's do it with this medicine that we can get to everybody cheaply.
Yeah, it's an oral medicine. So here, let me pop a few pills in my bag and ride out to the middle of the last mile and start handing them out.
Yeah. And Merck did receive Warp Speed money. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that helps offset whatever costs they're going to have to charge for the medicine. That would be the yeah. goal if the Warp Speed money. Okay. Warp Speed. Here's all your money. Make it. Oh, good. We didn't have to pour our own resources into research and development so we can charge less.
Oh, and it also yeah. encouraged Merck to pursue this. I mean, sure, why would yeah. they pursue it if they knew they weren't going to make any money off of it? So they're like, oh, well, you just de-risk my whole project. So yeah, yeah. sure, we'll do it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway. Well, in Germany, they are going to handle COVID quarantines a little bit different than we do here. They're talking about putting violators in detention centers. Germans who repeatedly break quarantine rules after being exposed to COVID-19 will be held in detention centers. The German state of Saxony is reportedly experiencing one of the worst outbreaks in Europe, and officials there have approved plans to hold repeated violators in a fenced-off section of a refugee camp under police guard. The state of Brandenburg had similar plans. Officials say that detentions are aimed at people who continue to violate lockdown rules even after being fined. A Disease Protection Act, an emergency law passed in March, gives states the powers to hold citizens in the event they break quarantine. So they basically want to take you and say, okay, you keep doing this, we're gonna throw you in a corner of a refugee camp and hold you there until you can behave.
So is this any, now the word detention center makes everybody really nervous. And I think that's fair. But is it really any different than what they did to that Georgia college student in the Cayman Islands? Was it Cayman Islands? I don't remember where it was. But the islands where she broke out and they put her in prison for 3 months. Obviously, it's kind of a prison. You're in cage under police guard. That's prison. We can call it whatever we want. Detention center, juvenile center, whatever. You're held against your will for a certain amount of time for breaking the rules. This doesn't seem that different to me.
No, other than it's just not in the actual jail system.
Okay, so yeah, you're being held, or detained rather, which has been a sketchy word in America since for a while. It's like 2004, 2005.
Well, to be fair, it's been a sketchy word in Germany too.
That's also true. I guess you could go detainment could even be 1940s internment camp type stuff. So yeah, detainment in general seems like a bad word. We should change that. And I mean, in Germany, it's probably called Gefangenstern, which is, you know, they could call it that. We'd be like, what is that? That sounds great. Lock people up.
So I think it's important here to realize that we're talking about repeat offenders even after the point of being fined. I know that in Ireland right now, I read a news article this week about how they're pretty serious about the fines that they throw on people. If you're outside of your 5 kilometer radius and you're caught outside of your 5 kilometer radius and you're going out for a hamburger, they're going to fine the shit out of you. And I think this is beyond that. This goes, okay, you've been warned. You've been fined. You've been asked not to do this. There's nothing else that we could do as a society to get you to understand that we're in the middle of a global pandemic. So what we're going to do is just make sure that you stay quarantined by locking you away for 2 weeks. And that way you can't go get a hamburger 80 kilometers away. You've got to stay within your 5 kilometer radius. We'll make sure of that.
It's like raining in.
I don't know if. It's like, what?
Reining in children is the same thing. Yeah. I can't get you to do what I've asked you to do, so I'm going to have to step up the level of punishment or change some things around here to help encourage you to do what I've asked you to do. It's no different. You're just dealing with adults who should know better.
I mean, I don't know if it's right or wrong. I know it would never fly here in the United States, but at the same time, I'm not... Hey, look, if that's what that community says they want to do, then far be it from me to tell them that they're wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's true. Speaking of wrong, a rich couple is accused of taking vaccine doses from indigenous elders. This one. All right. Unwilling to wait patiently for their own COVID-19 vaccines, an affluent couple from Vancouver devised an alternative to prioritize their own health at the expense of others. According to Canadian authorities, casino executive Rodney Baker, 55, and actress Katerina Baker, 32, chartered a private plane to a remote community in Canada where they misrepresented themselves to get vaccine doses intended for Indigenous elders.
Those buttholes.
On January 19th, the Bakers departed Vancouver and flew to Whitehorse, the capital of the Yukon, where they promised to complete a mandatory 14-day self-isolation period. They did not. Just 2 days later, they took a private plane to Beaver Creek, a community of 100 people, most of whom are members of the White River First Nation. The same day the Bakers landed in Beaver Creek, they headed to a mobile vaccination clinic where they misrepresented themselves as new hires at a local motel and received their first doses of the Moderna vaccine. At this point, their plan was going swimmingly. But then they asked for a ride to the airport. People were like, well, why would you be going to the airport? Stryker said. Clinic workers were getting suspicious and made calls to law enforcement and the motel where the Bakers claimed to work. Meanwhile, in Whitehorse, authorities discovered that the spouses were not at the location where they were supposed to be quarantining. Law enforcement was able to catch them before they made it back to Vancouver.
This is what we said would happen, right?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, yeah.
We called it. We were the only ones, of course, because we're the
number, of course.
One, yes. Number one resource for COVID news and theory. But yeah, we called it. This is not surprising to me. It's disgusting, but not surprising.
Well, it's not only disgusting, but it's really poorly done, too. Like, yeah. If you're going to pull this type of a con, you better do it a hell of a lot better than these two jokers did. Like, it's just weak,
I mean,
sauce.
In my mind, I feel like you would have a better opportunity by being just walking into a, not even a remote clinic, but walking into a clinic maybe 15 or 20 miles outside of the city that might be a little more rural. And faking you're a healthcare worker and just saying, hey, look, man, I see patients all day, every day. I'm a healthcare worker. Shoot me up.
Yeah.
And they probably could be like, all right, you're wearing a white lab coat. I buy it. And yeah. For $15 for a lab coat, they probably could have gotten it 15 miles away. Instead, they pull this ridiculously crazy change plates, stay in hotels in the middle of Beaver City. And I mean, you know, it feels like an elaborate plan to all end up being caught because they said, can I get a ride to the airport?
Yeah.
Like, they would have had better luck just, you know, driving 10 minutes out. I mean, if they were going to get caught anyway, that probably would have been a little bit easier of a ruse to pull off.
Oh, for sure. Well, what it sounds like is they had no idea, A, that it's a two-stage vaccine, probably.
Yeah.
They just didn't pay enough attention to that. They figured one poke and they're done. So they didn't think that part through. They went way too elaborate on it, and then they couldn't keep their you, when you're going to pull something like this off, you got to tell the story right. Yeah. They didn't tell the story right.
That's a
stick to your lie, baby. Stick to your lie.
They deserve
whatever
they get.
It's about the details.
It's about the details.
You keep the details straight, and you have to believe it. You have to believe your own stupid story, which is why I suck at lying, because I know I'm telling a tale and I can't hold it together. No, I didn't really do that. You're right,
Steven. You need to go back and watch Reservoir Dogs, and you will learn the art of lying by watching that movie.
It's been a long time since
I can give
that.
You, I can give you at least half a dozen good films to learn how to run a good confidence scam.
Okay.
Right away. I mean, you got your Reservoir Dogs. You got your Basic with John Travolta is another good one. Mm-hmm. Confidence. Even Oceans, the Oceans films.
Gosh, pay Oceans movies are great. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I could not do that. I was listening to Sacha Baron Cohen today talking about situations he's got into undercover that he talked his way through that on the off the cuff that I would have melted.
He talks his way through those off the cuff in character.
Yes.
That's the crazy part of it. He is Borat while he's explaining this to somebody and getting himself out of it. That's the thing that blows my mind.
He's very nice.
He's superhuman. He told a story where he was playing Bruno, and they were at some modeling club, and he got lost his production crew, and security was after him because they knew he was causing shenanigans somewhere. Ended up backstage, and talked his way into becoming a model walking down the runway, and he wasn't even supposed to be there. And then his crew had been shooting the show because they didn't know where he was. They didn't know if he was safe. They didn't know if he was caught. They didn't know anything. So they're like, let's just get B-roll. And he comes walking out onto the runway. And I'm like, that's insanity. That's improv beat at a level that I don't think most people would be capable of. Even the best could handle that. But, man, it's wild. So, yeah, if you're going to run a con, good point. Get better at it. If you want to get your anus swabbed, show up in China. Wait, what did he just say? Did he just say anus swabs? What? Anal swabs for Beijing residents are more accurate, says a Chinese expert. You know what I like less than having a Q-tip jammed into the back of my head? A Q-tip into my butthole.
I believe it.
That sounds like a worse option. More than a million Beijing residents undergoing coronavirus testing amid a fresh outbreak have been administered anal swabs, which are considered more accurate and raise the chances of detecting COVID-19. Anal swabs have been in use since last year, including in the major port city of Shanghai, but the method is so far reserved for individuals in potential COVID-19 hotspots, according to the infectious disease expert quoted by China's state broadcaster CCTV. In some asymptomatic cases or in individuals with mild symptoms, they tend to recover from the illness very quickly. It's possible that there will be no trace of the virus in their throat after 3 to 5 days. What we found is that in some infected patients, the coronavirus survives for a longer period of time in their digestive tract or excrement than in their respiratory tract. Something we discovered at college campuses was testing the poop that came out of the college students and seeing where there was a COVID outbreak due to that. If we remember that from a long time ago.
Thank you, University of Arizona, right?
Yeah. I think that was out there. According to guidelines published by China's National Health Commission, anal swabs are to be inserted 3 to 5 centimeters inside the rectum. The swab is to be rotated and removed before being securely placed inside a sample container. That's 1.2 to 2 inches up your bum, you guys.
Yeah, no. And Audie brings up the one question that I have, which is... Yeah. Is there a robot doing this?
They just have to reprogram the one bot to just, aim at a different hole and go less deep.
He's not aiming for a face hole anymore. He's aiming for the brown eye.
Yeah. What is Tater Tot doing awake? He's supposed to be asleep. Go to bed, you nutball.
Yep.
that's a good time to spend. Go to sleep.
He steadfastly refuses.
They do that. They'll be like, they fake you out. They fake other parents know this. They're like, hey, yeah, I'll go to sleep. Cool. 2 weeks going to sleep. And you're like, oh man, life is good. And then one day, shaboosh, they're like, never going to sleep again. Screw you guys. I'm up now.
He's starting a leap right now. So
yeah, that'll do it.
He wants to talk.
I want to go through a leap where I just get smarter because it's the natural thing. Like, why can't I do that? Am I too old for that?
Shine. You see your Uncle Shine. Look at you. You see him.
Audio listeners, you're missing. You're missing it. That kid, he's a plague baby. Not really. He came along at the start of the plague. He didn't get conceived at the start of the plague. That's what defines plague baby, right?
He was not conceived because of the pandemic. He was born and caused the pandemic.
Oh, that's it. That's right. That's right.
He
harbinger.
Brought in the pandemic. He's the harbinger of pandemics.
That's good.
Oh, Tater Tot just started crying because we closed the door, and now he's upset because he wanted to be with Daddy.
Of course he did. You're the man now. You the man now, dog. I go through that with Sam, and he's 5. He'll be like, mom, and then like for 2 weeks, he'll be like, I'm going to go hang out with Daddy. I'm going to have boys time. Yeah, he just talked endlessly about you. I'm going to go over to Jacob's and have boys time. We'll play SpongeBob stuff. I'm like, I don't even know if Jacob knows SpongeBob, but okay. It's your turn, Jacob.
Yeah, so no robots for anal swabs, please. Let's not do that.
No anal swabbing robots.
Yeah, sorry, I completely disrupted it. The last story, I missed most of the commentary.
You're good. It was just talking about butt Q-tips. That's all. Nothing you don't do every Saturday night. It's totally.
No, that's a good Saturday night. A bad Saturday night would be getting thrown out of the legislative building in Georgia. That's what happened to a legislator in Georgia. He was removed from the House chambers for refusing to take a COVID-19 test. A Georgia state legislator was removed from the House chambers on Tuesday for not getting tested. Representative David Clark, a Republican who represents Gwinnett County out of Buford. Yeah, Buford sounds good. Said he was thrown out by House Speaker David Ralston, a fellow Republican, for not taking test, which is required from state lawmakers. Ralston's office says Clark is the only House member who has refused to be tested since the legislative session began 2 weeks ago. The testing issue has been a charged one since the start of the General Assembly earlier this month. Housing guidelines called for 2 tests per week during the 2021 session. A testing site is open at the Capitol for lawmakers Monday through Thursday. Dr. Ralston admonished the House members on the first day of the session, saying that he noted 74 members had refused the test. The very next day, I'm assuming the rest of them got tested. The Senate Majority Leader, the Republican Senate Majority Leader, Mike Dugan, announced a positive test. So there was a good reason why they were doing these tests. Georgia health officials. Well, here it is. Representative Clark framed his side of the issue by stating that he refuses to get test. The testing is excessive for lawmakers, especially to get it twice, since testing isn't readily available to people that really need it. However, Georgia health officials say that anybody in the state who needs a COVID test can get one. Speaker Ralston, in a statement, said he refused he's refused testing at all points during the session. Blah 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 blah. Bottom line is that he had the police escort him from the Capitol and said that he would be more than welcome to return when he gets tested.
What are they worried? Is he worried they're going to find the cocaine he snorted before he walked in the door? Like
wrong test, Steven.
But what? Yeah, oh,
they're not looking for that.
Yeah, but they're swabbing his nose. What if they come out and they're like, is this baby powder? What you got hiding up there?
You got some white stuff right there. Is that, yeah. That's not going to ruin the test.
That's what I'm referring to. They could offer him the butt test if he'd rather do that. Maybe that's what he's into. I'm sure.
Well, and when the excuse is, well, this is excessive testing when people can't get tests that need it. No, that hasn't been a problem for quite a while.
Months. We've been through that.
You can get a test.
Yeah, so we've been through that since midsummer. Go get tested. This is ridiculous, and he deserves to get thrown out. Wasn't Georgia another one with that town council meeting where the two guys refused to wear masks, like, ever? And a teacher got up and is like, we have lost three teachers in this county alone from COVID-19. They died. Yeah. And she said, why don't we honor their wishes? Because, like, at least one of them had said, I'd like people to take care of each other and wear their mask. Let's honor their wishes and let's observe a moment of silence and everybody put their mask on. And these two a-holes didn't do it. Even through that, and it's like, if you cannot, don't talk to me about the sanctity of human life, you bunch of buttholes. If you can't put on a mask to protect your friends, like, you lose all credibility in that argument, and I don't want to talk to you anymore, and I hope you get butt warts.
There's a couple out of Georgia right now that the what's the QAnon follower down in Georgia that got elected to the House of Representatives?
Taylor Greene. Right.
There you go. That nutball. She refuses. She, or at least I know she had refused to wear a mask, even during administration. I think she wears them when she's on camera. But I know that she was one of the group of people that was like, hell no, I ain't wearing no mask. So yeah, I don't know. There's Georgia and Michigan are kind of neck and neck on their craziness scale.
Yeah, we're who would have thought. We're fighting this out, and I don't get it. Like, how did we both leapfrog Florida? Is what I want to know.
Yeah,
and it's not like it's better in Florida either. Like,
no,
they're not better. We just are like, no. Let me show you how it's done.
It's like people just expect it from Florida, so they're like, whatever. We'll just talk about somebody else for a little while. I don't know.
Or maybe everybody from Florida decided to go up north just a little bit and hang out in Georgia.
Yeah, so that's it. They all moved to Georgia to influence the vote. That's the through line there.
Yes, that's what it was.
If you want to follow through, if you want to keep rolling down the conspiracy hill, that's it.
They got it wrong, though, because, I mean, it didn't work, especially in the Senate ones, right?
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you.
They missed the vote on that one.
I don't know what to tell you. But yeah.
Yeah. So I mentioned that Michigan is we're opening back up things like restaurants and all that. Not the only ones. California's governor is lifting their stay-at-home order. So they had actual stay-at-home orders going on. But amid signs of improving COVID-19 conditions in California, Governor Gavin Newsom lifted statewide stay-at-home orders on Monday, the California Department of Public Health said. The move allows restaurants to open for outdoor dining options and salons to resume indoor appointments. Outdoor church services are also permitted. Reopening options apply to regions including the San Francisco Bay Area, Central Valley, and Southern California, and marks the first reopening opportunity since December. So they've had stay-at-home. It's actually been more strict there than it was in Michigan, and they're finally lifting that. The state will now revert to a county tier system, which eases lockdowns depending on the case rates and gives local officials the option to set their own restrictions, reports KCRA. Californians heard the urgent message to stay home as much as possible and accepted that challenge to slow the surge and save lives. Tomas Aragon, CDPH director, and that is hard to say, CDPH director.
Yeah.
And state public health officer said in a statement obtained by KCRA, together, we changed our activities, knowing our short-term sacrifices would lead to longer-term gains. COVID-19 is still here and still deadly, so our work is not over, but it's important to recognize that our collective actions saved lives and we are turning a critical corner. Although state mandates surrounding business operations are relaxing, county officials could still impose stricter limits on businesses, on business activity in a bid to further prevent COVID-19. Looking at the state data, good news is tempered with an unchanging scenario. The number of patients requiring hospitalization and intensive care is slowly falling, which indicates fewer instances of severe COVID-19 cases. But simultaneously, the vast majority of California counties still have widespread COVID transmission. So it indicates that the pandemic is far from contained.
That's the thing.
Things are trending in the right direction for them.
Sure, but they trend in the right direction because of the restrictions. They don't trend in the right direction because you lift them. They trend because you have them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing that happened in North Carolina. Like, we're going to be data-driven with our reopening. We're going to be data-driven. And then all the data said, don't do it. And they said, hey, we're opening. Because in this state, you're stuck in a rock and a hard place. You got a Democratic governor with a vastly Republican populace. And he had to satisfy, do I want to keep this job? I better satisfy both ends of this somehow.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, you've got California, which is vastly Democratic and a Democratic governor. And so he doesn't have that issue going on.
Right.
But there is a lot of there in that article. There was some talk about the California. There was, just like in Michigan, lawsuits going on with especially small business restaurants complaining. So basically all. But the big thing is the counties can still do what they want. The counties can still set whatever they want. So that's the important one, I think, even if he lifted it statewide.
And that's the right way to do it. I mean, in all honesty, like, sure, a governor can say my entire state is locked down. But if you look at the maps and you see County A, B, and C actually have 1 out of 100,000, 10 out of 100,000 that have it, and then you look at another county and they've got 500, you're like, oh, well, okay, maybe that county needs to stay locked down. But people move. It's real hard. I don't envy the people that have this job because it's really hard to.
No, I don't.
To decide based on data from a county to county when people work from in one county and drive to another county. And like I lived in Wake County, but I worked in Durham County for a long time. I could be influencing either number, whichever way we go. And it's like that. So how do you do it? Do you neighboring counties and have some sort of weird cross section of data that you look at and try to maintain it that way?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, certain counties are going to have it easier than others. There's certain counties that aren't going to be as transient. Because I know, like, areas in Southeast Michigan, in Detroit area, you'd have counties where, you know, I had friends that lived in one county, worked two counties over. Because that's where the job was. You had to drive there every day. And so, yeah, I don't envy the people that have to do this. But it's nice to see the numbers trending in the right direction. I hope that continues in that direction and that this doesn't halt whatever progress they were making as people just decide, well, cool, everything's open again and go crazy.
Yeah. I mean,
Do you think that the governor caved?
I'm sure there was quite a bit of pressure to get him to lift it statewide.
I mean, he's almost got enough signatures on the petition to actually oust him as governor, right? Or to call for a revote on his governor, right?
There was talk of a recall.
Because is that unique to California, that recall ability? Because they've done that a couple times, haven't they?
Well, that's how Schwarzenegger got in the first place.
Right, it was a recall election, yeah.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if it's unique to them, but it seems like it happens more often out there. But I don't know of another state that does it off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure there was some pressure there. You know, part of it was that these things were imposed, but then there was no relief offered at a state level.
Right.
Which I think was the hardest part.
That seems to be the kicker. Like, if you're going to have an excuse for we need to reopen now, a lot of it's because we were told to close and we're giving nothing or a minimal amount to offset our losses. And I get that. I'm not a small business owner, but at the same time, I get it. Like, if I was a small business, I'm a barbershop. or whatever. I still have to pay my lights. I still have to pay for my space. I still have to pay for my employees if I have any. And to tell me to shut down and I can't work for a month and not give me any help? I mean, the PPP's happened. But, I mean, shoot, I think that there are mega churches that got PPP money. It was, didn't exactly go to all the right places.
Okay. Yeah, don't get me started on who did and didn't get PPP. That was just an absolute nightmare.
Well, we removed the accountability from it. When we put it in place, they removed the person who was supposed to be over the distribution so people could cash in who weren't supposed to. That's what happens. You always need oversight. Give people free money. Yep. You need to know how they spend it, and you need to know that the bonuses weren't just allocated to people willy-nilly because the government gave me an extra $3 million. Anyway, that's a different topic for a different show. Why you wouldn't be upset about it, I don't know. But yeah, so anyway, that's the news. that's where we're at. We ended on a high note. But Jacob, you had a deep dive written down. Do you and Tater Tot want to cover this particular topic? We're at about an hour, but we can mention it.
I think I may have to call it at this point because I need to get this little guy in bed. He's all he wants to do is hang out with me, apparently. So I'm gonna have to call it here. But maybe we could talk about this next week with the vaccinations out of the EU and how they're all upset and up in arms.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we need to do that.
We need to get on that. Well, we got no mail this week, ladies and gentlemen, but if you want to mail us, you can hit us up at staringatgoatspodcast@gmail.com to send us that mail. We'd love to read it on the show. Travis, what's our number?
Our phone number is 231-486-5401, and you can call us. You can leave us a voicemail there. We don't have any voicemails this week, but, you know, just like with the emails, we'd love to get them. So
we could have voicemails, and that'd be awesome. Travis could play them. You could hear your voice on the show yelling about whatever. Like, Mello, if you want to call in and be like, listen to this mess I just went through, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear from anybody. I mean, and you can call in. You don't have to tell us who you are if you don't want to. You can just be like, I'm just a disembodied voice in the distance talking into a telephone. We're good with that, too. Doesn't bother us any. But yeah, so this has been a good show. Jacob had to bail. If you're watching the video, you see that he has left because he had he has a small child that needed some support. So Travis and I are gonna ride this thing off into the sunset. If you enjoy the show, be sure to give us your podcast service or give us a review on your podcast service of choice. You can follow us on Twitter at @staring_goats. Good place to send us quick little questions or comments. You can follow me at @SteveHNH. Travis is TV's Travis. Also, be sure to subscribe to Travis's other shows because they're good. Wait, You Haven't Seen and The Highlander. What's the Highlander titled? What's the title of your Highlander show?
Let's watch Highlander.
Let's Watch Highlander. Yeah. Which is a fantastic show to hang out with when they're live on Tuesdays now. Cause it's a good time. Travis, you are wrapped up in podcast, man. You got it going on. I got it going on.
It's keeping me busy.
You need something. And you started your painting streams.
Yep. I'm painting miniatures on stream, just chilling out, listening to. I found some good kind of lo-fi, chilled out music and just hang out, paint, and chat.
That's a good time. Yeah. I've spent my evenings bouncing around different friends of the network. At this point, there's always a friend of the network streaming at night on some days. And it's been really fun. To hang out with you guys just in the off hours when I'm not doing anything. Thanks to everybody who supports the show via Patreon. You can do that at twodorks.net/support. Hammer Dwarf Jesse, Og, Adam and Christine of Geekheim, Oddly Normal One, our parents. That list grows. We'd love to see you as a part of it. Consider throwing a buck our way. Just a buck a month for two shows a week. That's pretty good. That's pretty good numbers, I figure. Mm-hmm. That's not bad. That's not bad, and we appreciate it. But thank you guys again for joining us on Staring at Goats. Let's hope we don't have to do this show next week, but I'm pretty sure we will. It's coming at you for the foreseeable future. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time. Staring at Goats. Ah!